Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Pesachim, Daf Mem Zayin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, Rav Chisda said, "Midiraisa tzorchei Shabbos nas miyontav." Midiraisa, Shabbos needs may be prepared on yontav, and it was the Rabban who made a gezer against it, lest people say they may beg for yontav even for chol. This is why they required an erev tavshilin to be a hecker to remind people that cooking on yontav for after yontav is only permitted for Shabbos. Rabbi challenged Rabbi Chisda from a Mishnah in Menachos that states that the lechem upanim is eaten on the 9th, 10th, or 11th day after it's baked. Now, it's typically eaten on the 9th day since it's baked Erev Shabbos and eaten the following Shabbos. If a yantav falls on Erev Shabbos, it's eaten on the 10th day. Now, on this, Rabbi asked Rabbi Chisda that if midiraisa at tzorchei Shabbos are done in yantav and it's only prohibited midirabbanim, why does the baking the lechem upanim not override the prohibitions of yantav, as we have a rule that the injunctions of the Rabban Ashvus do not apply in the base of Mikdash? Rav Chisda answered, Shvus krova hitiru, shvus rechoka lo hitiru. They permitted a shvus for an immediate purpose, but they didn't permit it for a distant purpose, meaning for the eating of the lechem upanim on the subsequent Shabbos. Rav Chisda points out that Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees with the Tana of this Brice and holds that shvus rechoka nam hitiru, a shvus is permitted for a distant purpose as well. Point number two, Rav Mari challenged Rav Chisda from the first part of the Mishnah Menachos that teaches, shtei alechem einen echolos, the shtei alechem, which are offered on Shavuos, are eaten not less than 2 days after they're baked. This means that if they're baked Erev Shavuos, which is a typical case, they're eaten on the second day. Now, Amari asked that if Tzorchei Shabbos may be prepared on Yantav, the Yom Tov Yom Tov Miboy, is there any question that one's permitted to prepare for the needs of Yantav on that very Yantav? Yet the Mishnah teaches they must be baked the day before. So the Gemara answers that the halacha is different there. The Amar Kra Lachem, Lachem Lo Gavoa, because the pasuk regarding preparing food in Yantav says, for you, which teaches that you may prepare food on Yantav only for yourselves, but not for Gavoa, meaning the offerings. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamli, who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Haskan, that baking of the Shei Lachem does override Yantav, the word Lachem is coming to exclude preparing on Yantav for Nachrim. And point number three, as part of his defense of the principle of Hoyo, Rabbi interprets that one of the multiple prohibitions listed in the Brice that one would incur Malkus for is for moving muksa wood. Abai asks Rabbi if he indeed holds muksa as a deraisa, and Rabbi answers that he does, based on the pasuk Vayabu Yom HaShishi VeHechinu Etz Asher Yaviu. On the sixth day they shall prepare what they bring. And its prohibition is from the pasuk Lasasa Komolacha, you shall not do any molacha. Rabbi understands that the pasuk referring to preparation cannot be referring to cooking and baking, since the Torah states elsewhere that they should cook or bake the man. Rather, the pasuk commands the people to prepare the man by declaring they'll use it on Shabbos, for otherwise it'll be forbidden for use as muksa. Abai goes on to challenge Rabba. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, Rav Chisda said, Midiraisa tzorchei Shabbos nas miyontav. Midiraisa, Shabbos needs may be prepared on yontav. And it was the Rabban who made a gezer against it, lest people say they may beg for yontav even for chol. This is why they required an erev tavshilin to be a hecker, to remind people that cooking on yontav for after yontav is only permitted for Shabbos. Rabbi challenged Rabbi Chisda from a Mishnah in Menachos that states that the lechem upanim is eaten on the 9th, 10th, or 11th day after it's baked. Now, it's typically eaten on the 9th day since it's baked Erev Shabbos and eaten the following Shabbos. If a yantav falls on Erev Shabbos, it's eaten on the 10th day. Now, on this, Rabbi asked Rabbi Chisda that if midiraisa at tzorchei Shabbos are done in yantav and it's only prohibited midirabbanim, why does the baking the lechem upanim not override the prohibitions of yantav, as we have a rule that the injunctions of the Rabban Ashvus do not apply in the base of Mikdash? Rav Chisda answered, Shvus krova hitiru, shvus rechoka lo hitiru. They permitted a shvus for an immediate purpose, but they didn't permit it for a distant purpose, meaning for the eating of the lechem upanim on the subsequent Shabbos. Rav Chisda points out that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees with the Tana of this Brice and holds that shvus rechoka nam hitiru, a shvus is permitted for a distant purpose as well. Point number two, Rav Mari challenged Rav Chisda from the first part of the Mishnah Menachos that teaches, shtei alechem einen echolos, the shtei alechem, which are offered on Shavuos, are eaten not less than 2 days after they're baked. This means that if they're baked Erev Shavuos, which is a typical case, they're eaten on the second day. Now, Amari asked that if Tzorchei Shabbos may be prepared on Yantav, the Yom Tov Yom Tov Miboy, is there any question that one's permitted to prepare for the needs of Yantav on that very Yantav? Yet the Mishnah teaches they must be baked the day before. So the Gemara answers that the halacha is different there. The Amar Kra Lachem, Lachem Lo Gavoa, because the pasuk regarding preparing food in Yantav says, for you, which teaches that you may prepare food on Yantav only for yourselves, but not for Gavoa, meaning the offerings. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamli, who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Haskan, that baking of the Shei Alechem does override Yantiv, the word Lechem is coming to exclude preparing on Yantiv for Nachrim. And point number three, as part of his defense of the principle of Hoyo, Rabbi interprets that one of the multiple prohibitions listed in the brights that one would incur Malkus for is for moving Muksa wood. Abai asks Rabbi if he indeed holds Muksa as a deraisa, and Rabbi answers that he does, based on the pasuk Vayabu Yom HaShishi Ve'Hechinu Etz Asher Yaviu. On the sixth day they shall prepare what they bring. And its prohibition is from the pasuk Osasa Komolacha, you shall not do any Molacha. Rabbi understands that the pasuk referring to preparation cannot be referring to cooking and baking, since the Torah states elsewhere that they should cook or bake the man. Rather, the pasuk commands the people to prepare the man by declaring they'll use it on Shabbos, for otherwise it will be forbidden for use as muksa. Abai goes on to challenge Rabbah. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Mem Zayin, and our standard simon is a maze. A maze. So here goes. After baking the lechem upon him Erev Yantiv for a Yantiv that falls on Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim were given 10 days in the maze before it was eaten, to find the Shtei Alechem not made for them, resting on top of Deraisa muksa wood. Once again, in slow motion. After baking the lechem upon him Erev Yantiv for a Yantiv that falls on Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim were given 10 days in the maze. Maze? That must mean we're on Daf Mem Zayin. After baking the lechem upon him Erev Yantiv for a Yantiv falls on Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim were given 10 days in the maze before it was eaten. Which reminds us, Rabbah asked Rav Chisda that if Midr writes that Tzarchi Shabbos are done in Yantiv, and it's only prohibited Midr Rabbanan, why does the baking the lechem upon him need to occur Erev Yantiv if a Yantiv falls on Erev Shabbos? Why doesn't it override the prohibitions of Yantiv, as we have a rule that the injunction of the Rabbanan, a Shvus, does not apply in the base of Migdash? Rav Chisda answers, Shvus Krova Hitiru Shvus Rechoka Lo Hitiru. They permitted a shvus for an immediate purpose, but they didn't permit it for a distant purpose, meaning for the eating of the lechem upon him on the subsequent Shabbos. Rav Chisda points out that Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees with the Tana of the Braisa and holds shvus rechoka nami itiru. A shvus is permitted for a distant purpose as well. So after baking the lechem upon him Erev Yantiv, for a Yantiv that falls in Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim were given 10 days in the maze before it was eaten, to find the Shtei Alechem not made for them, which reminds us Rav Mari challenged Rav Chisda from the first part of the Mishnah, that teaches that the Shtei Alechem, which are offered on Shavuos, are baked Erev Shavuos. Rav Mari asks that if Tzarchi Shabbos may be prepared on Yantiv, the Yomtiv Meyomtiv Mabai, is there any question that one is permitted to prepare for the needs of Yantiv on that very Yantiv? Yet the Mishnah teaches they must be baked the day before. So the Gemara answers that the Lach is different there, Damar Kral Lechem, Lechem, V'lo Gavo, because the puzzle regarding preparing for the Yantiv says for you, which teaches that you may prepare food on Yantiv only for yourselves, but not for Hashem, meaning the offerings. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Askan, the baking of the Shtei Alechem does override Yantiv, the word Alechem is coming to exclude preparing on Yantiv for Nachrim. So after baking the Lechem upon Erev Yantiv, for a Yantiv falls on Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim were given 10 days in the maze before it was eaten, to find the Shtei Alechem not made for them, resting on top of Deraisa, Muksa wood. Which reminds us, the Rabbi holds that Muksa is a Deraisa based on the Pasuk Vayabu Yom HaShishi, Le'achinu Asher Yaviu, on the sixth day they shall prepare what they bring, and its prohibition is from the pasuk Osasa Komolacha, you shall not do any molacha. Rabbah understands that the pasuk referring to preparation cannot be referring to cooking and baking, since the Torah states elsewhere that they should cook or bake the man. Rather, the pasuk commands the people to prepare the man by declaring they'll use it on Shabbos, for otherwise it will be forbidden for use as muksa. Abai goes on to challenge Rabbah. So once again, after baking the lechem upon him Erev Yantiv for a Yantiv that falls in Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim were given 10 days in the maze before it was eaten, to find the Shtei Alechem not made for them, resting on top of the rice of muksa wood. All right, now it's time for a four blah back chazara. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here it goes. The Woman's Chametz Magazine. Magazine? That must mean we're on Daf Mem Gimel. The Woman's Chametz Magazine, featuring recipes of chametz mixtures and advertisements for chametz nuksha cosmetics, which reminds us that based on the question who the Tana is in the mission that held Dagan Gamro Ayide Taruv, is that full-fledged grain in a mixture, the nuksha be'enei and chametz nuksha that's distinct, Belov are both prohibited by love. We learned that Rabbi Yehuda said it was Rabbi Meir holds that a mixture with chametz is more severe than a chametz nuksha. And the Rav Nachman, who said it was Rabbi Eliezer, holds that a chametz nuksha is more severe than a mixture with chametz. So the Woman's Chametz magazine, featuring recipes of chametz mixtures and advertisements for chametz nuksha cosmetics, include an article why chametz can't be eaten by women, which reminds us that the reason Rabbi Eliezer learned that women are included in the chametz prohibition and penalty from the word kol in the pasuk, for anyone who eats something that has been leavened, then the soul should be cut off, and not from the pasuk ish o isha ki yasmi kochatos ha'adam, when a man or woman shall commit any of the sins of man, where the Torah has equated a man to a woman for all the punishments and relevant prohibitions in the Torah, is that since the Torah juxtaposes the prohibition to eat chametz with the mitzvah to eat matzah, that only those who are required to eat matzah are prohibited from eating chametz, And since women are punished from eating matzah, since it's a mitzvah zaseh, she's mangrama, a time-bound positive mitzvah, they would not be subject to the prohibition of chametz. That is why the word kol is needed. The Gemara brings a braisa where Rebbe Elazar then teaches that now that women are included in the prohibition of chametz, they have been included in the mitzvah of matzah. So the Woman's Chametz magazine, featuring recipes of chametz mixtures and advertisements for chametz noksha cosmetics, included an article on why chametz can't be eaten by women, nor brought on the Mizbeach. Which reminds us that when the Torah states, Se'or lo sektir mimenu ishel Hashem, do not burn leaven as a firing offering to Hashem, we would only know it's forbidden if all of it is leaven. From where do we know that it's prohibited if the leaven is in a mixture and is indistinguishable, that it's forbidden? The Torah states, ki kol. Daf mem dalet. So the simmer daf mem dalet is mud. So here goes. The Nuz who dropped his grape-soaked piece of bread in the mud. Mud, that must be more than daf mem dalet. The Nuz who dropped his grape-soaked piece of bread in the mud, which reminds us, Rabbi Abba said in the Rabbi Yochanan, Koisurin Shem Torah ain't heter mitzvah v'l iser in the case of all forbidden substances. Mention the Torah, a permitted substance does not combine with a forbidden substance to make up the minimum shir to be chayav for, except for Isuri Nazir, because the Torah says the word Mishras. And Rashi explained that this word teaches that a Nazir is prohibited for eating bread that has been soaked in wine. Now, since it's obvious that if the bread contained a full kazais of wine, the bread would be forbidden, then it must be the Torah is referring to a case where the bread contains less than a kazais of wine. And the kazais shir to be chayav was only attained by combining the forbidden wine and permitted bread. So the Nazir who dropped his grape-soaked piece of bread in the mud, which gave it a muddy taste, which reminds us, the Gemara questions using the word mishras to teach heter mitzvah v'l iser for a nazir, based on a braisa that teaches mishras liten tam ke'ikr. The word mishras comes to make flavor equivalent to a substance, that if a nazir soaked grapes in water, and the water subsequently has the flavor of wine, the nazir is chayav for drinking this water. And from here we can extrapolate to all prohibitions in the Torah. And the Gemara answers that the braisa reflects the view of the Rabbanan. But Rabbi Yochanan goes according to Rabbi Akiva, who disagreed with the Rabbanan and uses Mishras to teach Heter Mitzvah V'l Iser for the Nazir. So the Nazir dropped his grape-soaked piece of bread in the mud, which gave it a muddy taste, tossed it into Nachri's pot, which completely changed the flavor. Which reminds us that the Gemara initially suggested the Rabbi Akiva's source for Tam Kikr was from Basar Bechal, meat and milk, but the Torah prohibits the mere flavor of milk that is absorbed in the meat, but then rejects this because Basar Bechal has an anomaly, and that if one soaks meat and milk even for an entire day, it's permitted, but if one cooks it in the milk, it's prohibited. So you can't apply it to other Yisurim. Instead, the Gemara says Rabbi Kiva learns Tam Ki Iker from Gulei Nachrim, purging the Kiyom of Nachrim, in that the emissions impart mere flavor and are forbidden. So too with regard to other forbidden foods, flavor is forbidden, just like the substance. Daf Mem Hei. So the Simmer Daf Mem Hei is Monopoly. Monopoly. So here goes. The Daf Yomi Monopoly game. Monopoly? That must mean we're on Daf Mem Hei. Monopoly. The Daf Yomi Monopoly game required the player with a nuzzer piece to avoid landing on the grape skins and seed places, which reminds us, Rav Kana told Rav Ashi that we learn from the pasuk in the parsha of Nazir that prohibits eating anything made of the grapevine from the seeds or the skins, that Isser v'Isser b'Zer Chazeh, that forbidden food combines with the forbidden food even when they're consumed one after the other, whereas v'Isser v'Heter b'Basachas, the forbidden and permitted foods combine only when they're eaten simultaneously. So the Daf Yomi Monopoly game required the player with a nuzzer piece to avoid landing on the grape skins and seed places, while the player at the bagel piece raced to get enough dough to fill in the crack on the kneading bowl, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states, Batzek shebesid kei reva, leavened dough that's lodged in the cracks of a kneading bowl. If there's a kazayas of dough in one place, chayav levar, one must dispose of it. And if there's not, batel mi'luto, it's null due to its smallness. And the Gemara brings two versions of what Rav Yehuda said in the Mishmur regarding where the crack in the bowl was, whether it was in the upper part, where it's not made to hold water, or at the base where it is, and the implications in halacha for each version. So the Daf Yomi Monopoly game required the player with a nuzzer piece to avoid landing on the grape skins and seed places, while the player with the bagel piece raced to get enough dough to fill in the crack on the kneading bowl before it became moldy. Which reminds us, a pasha ibsha, a loaf that has become moldy and has become inedible to a person, but a dog is still able to eat it as it hasn't spoiled completely, is subject to tuma as food the size of a kabeitza, v'nisref isma tmeya bepesach, and if it's truma, it may be burned even though that it is tahor, together with food which is tamei on Erev Pesach. Rashi explains that as long as a dog can eat it, it doesn't lose its status of food. And even Rabbi Yossi on Daf Yadal, who holds that one cannot burn tahor truma with tamei truma, would agree here that since it's not fit for humans, one can burn it with the tamei. In the name of Rabbi Nassan, however, they said it's not subject to tuma as food. He holds that food not fit for human consumption does not become tamei. Daf Mem Vav. So the Simmer Daf Mem Vav is a cow going moo. So here goes. The donor eater and minion seeker who rented cows. Cows? That must be more on Daf Mem Vav. The dung eater and minion seeker rented cows for a 4-meal journey, which reminds us that 4 meals is the amount of distance that a dung eater must go to Tovo's customers Tommy Kalim, a traveler needs to travel to find a minion and to do Natil Zidime, and the amount of time for edible skins to be tanned to lose their status of food and adopt Makabal Tuma. Now, this is only 4 meal in front. Traveling in the direction with which one came only requires traveling less than a meal. So the dung eater and minion seeker who rented cows for a 4-meal journey met someone along the way who couldn't figure out how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach, which reminds us that there's a 3-way machlokes on how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach. Bake, then separate, or put in cold water, or just set aside since it's no longer the owner's dough, but the collective property of the kohanim. So the dough kneader and minion seeker who rented cows for a 4-meal journey met someone along the way who couldn't figure out how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach, and didn't know the chacham behind him could annul his designation of challah. Which reminds us that initially the Gemara says that the point of difference between Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the mission regarding how to separate challah from tamei dough and Pesach is whether they hold Tovas Hana Mamon. But then the Gemara says that perhaps everybody holds Tovas Hana in a Mamon, and the Machlokas is if they hold of Hoyo. Rabbi Yezer holds that since he can go to a chacham to annul his designation of challah, it's considered his property even now. And Rabbi Yeshua does not say Hoyo, and therefore it's not considered his property, and therefore he can keep it in his possession. All right, now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos and Erevin. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn that the reason the Lechem HaPanim is baked Erev Yantiv, if Yantiv is Erev Shabbos, is Shvus Krova Hitiru, Shvus Rochoka Lo Hitiru? That's on Daf Mem Zayin. Good, number 2. Which stuff do you learn from the prohibition of a Nazir not to eat grapes, grape skins, or seeds, that Isser V'Isser B'Zeh Achar Zeh? That's on Daf Mem Hey. Good, number 3. Which stuff do you learn that Rabbi Kiva learns Tam Ki Iker from Geulei Nachrim? That's on Daf Mem Dalad. Good, number 4. Which stuff do you learn that Pas She'ipsha, a moldy loaf that if it's inedible to a human and is Truma and is Tahor, it can be burned with Tamei Truma even according to Rabbi Yossi? That's on Daf Mem Hey. Good, number 5. Which stuff do we have a Malkok is about which is more Chamur, a Turovas of Chametz or Chametz Nuksha? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good, number 6. Which stuff do we learn that the Gemara says the Malchus ben Rabbi Yezer and Yeshua regarding separating Chal from Tamei Do on Pesach is whether one holds of Hoyo? That's on Daf Mem Vav. Good, number 7. Which stuff do we learn that Rabbanu learned Tam Ki Iker from Mishras? That's on Daf Mem Dalad. Good, number 8. Which stuff do we learn the source that women are prohibited from eating chametz? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good, number 9. Which stuff is it the Rabbah learns from the Heichinu Asher Yaviu that Mukse is a Deraisa? That's on Daf Mem Zayin. Good, and number 10. Which stuff do we have a 3-way Malchokas on how to separate challah from Tamei Do on Pesach? That's on Daf Mem Vav. Good, now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn that one can extinguish burning metal on Shabbos? That's on Daf Mem Beis and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we have in Malchokas is whether one can use Meiser Sheni money to buy salt water? That's on Daf Chav Zayin and Erevin. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we discuss the bracha of Buri Nefashos? That's on Daf Mem Dalad and Brachas. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.